Yeah. So there were three young boys, all grew up, remained bachelors. And they got in their 90s. One was 92, 94, and 96. The 96-year-old, they lived in the same house that they were raised in. They never got married. The 96-year-old was running some bath water, put his foot in, stopped, and proclaimed, "Was I getting in or was I getting out?" The 94-year-old said, "I don't know. Let me come upstairs and I'll help you figure it out." He starts climbing the stairs. Halfway up, he says, "Was I going up or was I going down?" The 92-year-old sitting in the kitchen, he hears him, he laughs, and he says, "Lord, I hope I never get that bad." And he said, "You two hang on a second." Or he said, "Lord, I hope I never get that bad, knock on wood." He said, "You two hang on a second. I'll come up and help you as soon as I see who's at the door." Praise God. We are not far from wrapping up our little series. I say little series. It's been a lengthy series. But a lengthy series that I think is vitally important. Because as particularly for me, as I've been studying this out, I'm like, "Lord, I don't love right. I don't love the way you would have me love. I love according to what I think is right." And many times when I've been reading stuff through here, God has showed me where I've fallen short. And, we all fall short of the glory of God, so we can't sit here and point fingers at one another and say, "Ah, you fell short. Look at me, I'm so righteous." But we are, I hope, becoming more like Christ. And that is the whole point of the bride, is to become like Christ. We don't need to be like the Pope. Don't need to be like Kenneth Copeland, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, me, you. We need to be more like Christ. I don't want to be like Peter. Peter was actually very inspirational. We always point out Peter sank. But out of 12, he was the only one that got out of the boat. Out of 12, he was the only one that grabbed a sword and attacked armed men. Peter acted before he thought many times. He was a very, we'll call an emotional man, right? Wore his emotions on his sleeve. He acted sometimes before he thought. He cussed a woman out around the campfire one night. Jesus was there being betrayed. But I want to be more like Christ. I want to think like Christ. I want to act like Christ. I want to speak like Christ. There were times, if you actually pay attention, Jesus' words were kind of harsh. They weren't always soft and cuddly. Sometimes they were just hit you between the eyes type of words, which sometimes we need. We need to know when to keep the pedal down and when to let off. Jesus did that. I know some preachers, that's all they focus on is Jesus keeping his disciples in line. Well, let's remember, he was the Messiah, is the Messiah. We are not. And as far as our importance of in the body of Christ and in the great grand scheme of things, nowhere does it say that there is a foundation brick in the New Jerusalem that has my name on it. But there are those 12. So when we look at them, we need to remember everything Jesus did, he did in love. He said in love. Because he had 3 years. I look around here and I think most of us have been saved more than 3 years. 3 years to go from understanding rules and regulations to now suddenly have to put that stuff behind you and understand God's grace. I've heard people criticize Peter on the whole vision of the sheet and on the animals that were on it. And Jesus said, rise up and eat. He said, oh, Lord, no, I'll never eat any of that stuff. I promise you, you'll eat whatever's in front of you if you're hungry enough. I would even eat pickled herring if I had to. It does not sound appetizing. And I like sardines. Somebody did a list on Facebook the other day about, are you a picky eater? There were only two things on there I have not or would not eat again. I know I've eaten cilantro in food, so I can't say I wouldn't. But I forget what the other thing, oh, sushi. Y'all can just keep that stuff. Morrow County, we call that bait. That's the only thing on there that I would not eat. And the reason being is because I lived according to the, I was raised, my dad and mom said you eat what's in front of you. Come to find out later, my dad was a picky eater. That's why he didn't eat with us all the time. But we never pushed food away. And so that paid off when we get to go in other places. You offend people if you don't eat what they put in front of you. Maybe not in this country, but you go in a country where they don't have food regularly like we do. You just offended them. So you better just do this and open wide. You can eat anything. It may not be the greatest, but you can do it. But anyhow, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. We're seeing a whole lot of things happening in the Word. We're seeing a lot of things happening with what God wants for us. Did I put that one on there, Carsey? Oh, there we are. What? Nope, that's Genesis. That's okay. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm sorry. We're in 1 Corinthians 13. I might have said 3. 3:6 says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Now we run around. Well, he took the stripes and the beating for my transgressions and iniquity. And there's been people over the years who've really tried to describe that. And, you know, and some of it kind of makes sense. But when I was reading in what this word iniquity really means, it's actually just kind of very straightforward. Well, we know what rejoicing means, right? We rejoice when our team wins. We rejoice when something goes our way. Well, iniquity means injustice. It's what is not conformable with justice, what ought not to be that which is wrong. We should never rejoice in injustice. See, everybody thinks, well, you know what, I'm a Christian, so therefore God's going to automatically choose on my side because I'm his child, even though I'm wrong. Let me help you out there, brother or sister. God will not. God will not side with you just because you claim to be his child. Many times, and I may just redo the message again sometimes, it's been long enough. There are so many times in the Bible God says that he despises or even hates unjust scales. You know, when you'd weigh something, they put a block. Anybody ever grab hold of a block of balsa wood? Some of you carvers. Balsa wood. I used to love when I got in a shop class and walk in there and there's a big chunk of balsa wood. And you're just waiting for somebody to walk through the door and you throw it at them. Yeah, you'd had fun in my shop class. We did it to each other all the time. Because balsa, a chunk of balsa wood that is just so light, it doesn't weigh anything. Well, they take a block of balsa wood or something extremely light, put it on the scales, and then weigh out. Or they put something that was heavier. Different metals weigh more. That's why it is such fallacy to watch heist movies, and they come in with a pallet stacked this high of gold. And the guy's just walking along, and they load it in the back of their three-quarter ton van, and the van just drives off with no problem. A pallet of gold that much would break the axles on that van because gold is so heavy. You can thank Gold Rush for me learning that. But gold is so much heavier that the lighter stuff will walk away, and it'll lock in place. So they would use different metals to weigh out and cheat people. Well, your grain doesn't weigh as much as what my measurement. Did you ever figure out that that's why there's a little sticker on every gas pump, every scale, everything that is measured in this county and in this state? County auditor goes through and they bring in a thing. I actually have an old one in my shop where they would set it. Okay, we're going to put in 3 gallons of gas. And they hit the trigger. And if it does not stop at exactly 3 gallons of gas and they do not match on the thing in there, that pump needs to be adjusted. Not, well, you need to adjust the thing to my pump. God doesn't change his word to adjust it because of us. He's not going to corrupt justice. So we should not be rejoicing in other people's sins. We should not be rejoicing when other people get found out in their sins. That's the hard part right there. And it was something happened a while back, and God really, when I was starting to really get into this, and before I could get my notes organized, and God showed me people were rejoicing because of an iniquity. Well, he was brought to justice. No, he wasn't brought to justice. It was just accused of iniquity. Somebody's been accused. In this country, we are still supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And the law's clear on there has to be clear and concise evidence. Now, many times people mess that up, evidence up and acting on their own. Now, I'm not saying that injustice does not happen. I've seen it many times. It will not go unchecked. Trust me on that. But here was something I learned about the word adikia, which is iniquity. There is only adikia or injustice because there is aletheia, truth, which occupies the place of dike, justice. Truth. Now I want you to pay attention to what that says. What's the last part of it? It says, but rejoices in truth. I don't think it was just happenstance that Paul was talking about. We do not rejoice in iniquity, but in the same, this is where it switches. This point, we switch from what love does not do, but to what love does do. And it says, it rejoices in truth. It rejoices in that which is right. You may not agree with it, but it's right. I want to be judged according to what the law states and not according to somebody's feelings. Somebody might get up and say, oh, I don't like middle-aged, balding white guys. Well, what am I to do? By the way, I just said I'm going to go to 100, right? Y'all know that, right? After 100, I don't care. Honestly, if I'm at 100, I can't get up and do things. What do I care? Come, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. But we do not rejoice in somebody else's somebody else's sin. We broadcast sin like it's crazy. That is all we do. That is all politics is right now. There's no truth in any of it. Well, there's just this little bit. Listen, a little bit of truth in a lie is still a lie. Truth will be known, but truth will only stand when Jesus Christ returns. Until then, we have the flawed system of man. That is why we pray for our leaders. That is why we show up. That is why I get on my soapbox up here in front of all of you. And if you still are not registered to vote, shame on you. You need to vote. Well, I can't get there. They're open till 7:30 and they open at 5:30. I think it's 5:30. I don't have to go there that early, so I don't know. Oh, vote by absentee ballot. Do whatever you have to do. Make sure you're voting. That's how you let your voice be heard. Talk to people. But love does not rejoice in somebody else's sin. And love does not rejoice when wrong is done to someone who has wronged us. Well, that's what they get. You ever said that? That's what they deserve. I got black and blue toes, just so y'all know. Every time I'm like, I said that, Jesus. I just said that yesterday. It's what they get. Show me where the Bible tells us that that's what we should be praying for. How about mercy? What is mercy? That they find Jesus Christ. That is why when we pray, we want people to find Jesus Christ. I don't want the drug dealers just to get arrested and thrown into prison for the rest of their lives so they can run their cartels from inside the prison and I foot the bill. I want them to find Jesus Christ. The mercy is they get stopped. The mercy is they find Jesus Christ. The mercy is they can infect as many more lives for good as they did for evil. That's what we should be praying. So Christianity today is so wrong in just praying that Hillary Clinton flies off the face of the earth. She's not a good woman. If you think so, then I'm sorry. She supports killing the unborn. But how many more people could she move if she were a Christian, if she were a born-again, spirit-filled, spirit-led believer in the words of Jesus Christ? How many more? I realize we can't just let people keep destroying this country. But that's because we've been praying wrong. We've been praying vengeance. We prayed, Lord, smite them. God is a jealous God, but he is long in patience. He is full of mercy, and that's what he wants to give to each and every one of us. Trust me, we don't want what we deserve. Well, I didn't do anything that bad. You need to understand one thing. Well, all I did was told a little lie. When you told that lie, according to what Paul was trying to get through to people, you broke the entire law. It was no difference as if you had just dismembered somebody yourself. You're guilty of the same law. That's why we pray for mercy. That's why we extend mercy. That's why when we vote, we do vote according to our conscience, according to what the Holy Spirit is leading us. But we do not vote just to get somebody out. And I realize sometimes you have to vote for the lesser of two evils. That's an unfortunate part. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. They will reap. I think every time Jesus described hell, we should pay attention. He didn't describe hell just so we would have a catchphrase, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and utter darkness. I'm pointing out to you, folks, there's no flames. Nowhere did Jesus mention flames. But he does mention utter darkness. Why? Because it is totally devoid of the presence of God. That people, demons, will all be in torment for eternity. And about the time they think it's over, it starts again. So think about that. The crying, the screaming, the wailing, and that's just from you. The clacking of the teeth, just trying to bite on something. We should never desire that for anybody. In Jude 9, the Bible says that Michael did not bring accusations against the devil, but merely said, "The Lord rebuke you." In other words, God will deal with you, Satan. I don't have to stand here and remind you of your future. That was just a religious thing to let's boost everybody's morale. We don't have to be depressed in our beliefs and in our walk with the Lord. But when we see sin, we need to pray. When we see injustice being done, we need to pray. We need to focus on what we have to focus on. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. One of my biggest things is people not paying attention to what's going on. Some of you have seen the video. How many have seen the video of the Texas church shooting? Few of you. Anybody seen the uncensored one? It didn't have to happen. The one you saw had everybody blurred out, right? As far as the main characters. I found the one that does not. The man was just in the service, and he got up, walked within 8 feet of the first guy he shot, and pulled a shotgun out of his jacket, and the guy didn't move. He didn't do anything. Nobody said anything. Nobody did anything until the shot started ringing out. 6 seconds later, it's over. Two of the church prisoners are dead, and the shooter is dead. It didn't have to happen if we're paying attention. It doesn't mean that we're always on guard with everybody. What did you mean by that? It means you go in calmly. I'm trying to remember, we had a saying in the Marine Corps. It went something to the way, I'm going to have to paraphrase it, but it went, go in to keep peace with everyone, but have a plan to kill everyone. Now, I know that sounds contrary to what I just told you. We don't want to kill. But that stuff doesn't need to happen. The stuff that's happening right now in Washington did not need to happen. The church was so busy on building buildings and empires unto themselves, they forgot to pray. Well, I got to say the prayer for the president. Big whoop-de-ding-dong. Did you pray for the president? Did you lay hands on the president and pray for him? Or did you pray a canned prayer that was so neutered that nobody would be offended? See, love does not rejoice in the iniquity. Oh, this person, they did that again. You know, I did not rejoice one bit in any, and I voted for him. But when President Trump's past has come out, didn't rejoice in any of that. But neither did I bring accusations again, because my Bible tells me to pray for him. He is my leader. All the garbage against that's coming out, and it's being, most of it from what I've read, is false. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to divide this country. Because I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if it was not for the United States of America, this world would not be in as good a shape as it is. But there are things that are appointed. There are things that God already knows are going to happen. It doesn't mean we rejoice that evil is being revealed and being shown, and we're seeing it. It means that we are watching. We're not surprised at what takes place. Let me tell you, this may tie in or not, but I thought it was just really awesome when I saw it. I watched a video by Jonathan Cahn the other day. Anybody know who Rabbi Jonathan Cahn is? A few of you, yeah, you sent me the video link, my wife. He's a Messianic Jew. And in 1871, a German archaeologist dug up the altar of Zeus in a dig and began sending it back to Berlin. And in the process, in 1878, anti-Semitism started setting foot in Germany. 1889, they unveiled the display for the altar of Zeus. This altar of Zeus is mentioned in the book of Revelation with the city of Pergamos. He said, I know you are where the throne of Satan is. Zeus. I know you are. This throne, this altar was called the throne of Satan. And it was established and built up and opened up in 1889 in Berlin for all to see. 1889 is also the year Hitler was born. In the 1930s, when Hitler took power, he began speaking his garbage, spewing this garbage. And then he became dictator, and the Nazi Party wanted a platform for him to stand on. Y'all, most of you, if you've seen any historic videos, have seen Hitler at his nighttime speeches with all the lights and stuff around his big. That is the thing they built for him. And this designer copied the throne of Satan for this. So Hitler sat upon the throne of Satan in Berlin, spewing his garbage. But not only that, where he was at was called an altar. And they offered burnt offerings. The Greek words for the burnt offering is kostos and halos. Holocaust. Hitler preached Holocaust from the throne of Satan. And we all just sat back. Nobody prayed until 6 million Jews were killed, burnt as a burnt offering. By the way, they were also the tithe, because 60 million people lost their lives during that war. See, all we care about is the military, right? That's all we look at. We forgot about the civilian casualties. We forgot about all the people that these lunatic military leaders went in and killed. 60 million people lost their lives during that war. We know in 1948, God established Israel as a nation again. And you know why, ladies and gentlemen? By the way, y'all paid attention that the two world wars, who was the main player in both of them? Germany. Who brought down the Roman Empire? Germanic tribes, the barbarians. They were trying for a third round. but God brought them down. If we'll pay attention, folks, we can pray. That's why we need to be smart, not just caught up in the winds of whatever's going on. We need to be smart. Wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Most of the church is walking around like a horse at the end of a plow. I see nothing, I hear nothing. Okay, Sergeant Schultz. We can't be like that anymore. We have to pay attention to what's going on. By the way, that also might mean you might see somebody's countenance change. Reach out. It's expected for me to reach out. And I see people and I begin to pray. But that call goes to all of us to pray for our brothers and sisters who are struggling, who are hurting. That's all of us. And it doesn't have to be, hey, let's have a counseling session. Man, you've been on my heart. I've been praying for you. I've got a couple people, they call me periodically. You've been on my heart. I wanted to pray for you. Hey, praise God. Lord knows I need all the prayer I can get. By the way, I may do more of that. I'm going to watch some more of those videos because when I started seeing all that, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is full of this if we're paying attention. History will repeat itself. We just have to pay attention and not get caught up in some great, glorious wedding imagery. That's all we're stuck in. We're stuck in, oh, we're just going to the party. You're here now. People are going to die. I don't even know if they still do it or not. There used to be a outreach that went around at Halloween time called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. Anybody go to it? I know we took youth group years ago, but yeah, some of you I know have gone to them before. They build this tunnel with plywood, and it's dark. And there are people screaming and beating on it while you walk through it. You can't hardly see inside. I mean, they couldn't get it tight enough, but hell is so dark because there's no God. There's absolutely no God. And without God, there is no light. Has anybody else paid attention in the book of Genesis as God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, but the sun hadn't been created yet? That's because he said, "I'm here, folks. I'm on the scene." And light became. We should never rejoice when someone has fallen short or been revealed of sin, even if it is someone who has wronged us, especially a brother or sister in the Lord. I knew it. I told you they were bad. I told you. Who cares what you told us? Did you pray for them? You knew it. God revealed it to you. Why did he reveal it to you? So you could tell everybody or so you could pray? We should pray for them lest we fall into the same trap. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but does rejoice in truth. The word truth is aletheia, the unveiled reality lying at the basis of and agreeing with an appearance, the veritable essence. Manifested, revealed. That's what we're going to focus on because that's what the Bible talks about. Matthew 16. Did I put that in there right? Yes, I did. I made my notes wrong. That's why I was asking. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," this is Peter, "for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Revealed what? That Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus went to his disciples and said, "Who do men say I am?" Well, some said, "Well, you're Elijah, John the Baptist." "Well, who do you say I am?" And Peter, the man that the church likes to pick on because he sank in the water. He cut off the high priest's servant's ear. Peter said, "You are the Son of God. You are the Christ." Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father." The Father will reveal to us himself. He will reveal truth. That's why I say, if you pray, if you will spend time, first off, you got to get to know God in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Today we have no excuse not to know who Jesus is. There's a Bible. I dare say everybody in here has at least one in your house. I'm not saying you got to spend hours studying every day. I'm saying you got to get in there and you got to read it. You got to know who God is. How will you know who God is unless you know them? You know, about 02, I think it was, when you guys started coming. In 02, you know, in 02, somebody could have said, "Well, you know, Pat Grosch is like this." And well, I wouldn't have known. I didn't know Pat Grosch. But this is 2020. 18 years later, somebody comes and says, "Pat Grosch is like this." I'll say, "You're a liar if it's not the truth. I know the man. I've frozen trees with him." You got to spend time with somebody to know who they are. Well, I know Pastor Art. Do you? All you know, most of you know, is this up here. Some of you know beyond. "Well, you know, I heard this running about you, Pastor, in town. Is this true? Do you know me?" "Well, yeah. Does it sound like me?" "No." There you have it. I've had people, "How do I know the truth from a lie?" "Well, does it sound like God? Does it sound like what we read about God? That he's long patience, he's full of mercy, he's full of love. Does that sound like God?" If God brings judgment on something, it's been going on for a very, 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 very long time. How many years did he put up with Israel? And he called them whores, by the way. I mean, how would you like that? God said, "You're a bunch of whores." "Pastor, that word offends me. Harlot. Is that better for you?" And let me point out something, folks. People throw that around all the time in the church at other people. And the truth of the matter is, I find the people that throw calling their brothers and sisters harlots, they are the ones that are usually full of it. They are. Yeah, we got people missing a part in their life. We got to understand, we are a three-part being. And if there's something missing, people will go look for it. "I don't believe in that psychiatry stuff. You don't have to believe in it there, crazy one. You don't have to believe in it, but it's true. If you got something missing, you will find a way to fill it with something else. And that's where we start finding addictions. That's why they're so hard. They got in there and they grabbed hold of something. And they said, "I own this spot and I'm not giving it up." And the reason why you don't want to give it up is because it's filling a void. Love should never rejoice in somebody's sin. That's why we're called, that if somebody in the church falls, the church is called to build them back up. That's one, why the Bible tells us not to promote leaders too quickly. I can account for the first 17 years of the, we'll talk about it in a second, 17 years of the Apostle Paul's life. And you know what he was doing in those 17 years? He was getting to know Jesus. He preached a little bit, but he didn't preach like he could have or did in the end. He was learning who Jesus was. I think if we spend more time learning who Jesus is, we'd find our life goes a little easier. Oh, yeah, that's the next part in my notes. In Galatians 1:11 through 2:10, Paul is recounting his conversion in his first 17 years of being a believer. But in Galatians 1:12, he said that he had not received the gospel of Jesus Christ through man, but rather by teaching, but rather through revelation. He didn't get it sitting at the feet of Peter. And you know part of the reason why he couldn't get it sitting at the feet of Peter? Because Peter was still stuck that it was only for the Jews. Peter was stuck. Paul had an anointing and a call to go to the Gentiles. Out of all, now we know the first 12 were Jews. Paul was also a Jew, but Paul was also a Gentile. He was both. He was a Roman. His father was a Roman. Paul loved the law. Y'all got to know how much Paul loved it. He loved it so much he went around killing Christians for it. Because there was a time in life we were the heretics. Rome didn't like us because the Jews didn't like us. Rome didn't like us because we said there's only one God and the emperor is not him. In other words, God revealed Jesus to Paul by what Paul knew in Scripture. I just told you, you got to get in your Bible or you will not know who Jesus is. Well, Jesus went around and he preached against this, he preached against that, and he preached. There are several subjects today, people, that the people are saying that Jesus preached on that he did not touch. Why? Because they didn't need to be touched. Nothing changed. But rather, we only focus on the God of wrath, an angry God, that we're sinners in the hands of an angry God. There's a call to repentance, but ladies and gentlemen, that has to go beyond, okay, we're here, I've repented, now what do I do? I got to know who Jesus is, or I'm going to fall back into that because law did not keep me from being a sinner. I was not raised in the very beginning of my life to know who Jesus was or to know who God was. But I knew lying was wrong. I knew stealing was wrong, but it did not stop me. I wanted that Hubba Bubba, and I stole it. And doggone that grape flavor was just so aromatic, it gave me away. The butt beating after that was not worth it. That's all I got to say. I do remember it quite well. It was not worth it. But it didn't keep me from breaking it. He also was revealed what he may have seen Jesus do or say while on earth. We forget that Paul was there during the preaching too. The Bible says the scribes and Pharisees followed Jesus regularly. They were looking for an opportunity. And who better than a Pharisee of Pharisees? God revealed Jesus to Paul through the Holy Spirit. Matthew 11, 25 through 27. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one whom the Son wills to reveal himself. When you get to know Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, you get to know God. They are one and the same. Jesus never did one thing that his Father did not tell him to do through the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Get to know Jesus. Get to know who God is. The whole thing, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, never came to say, we need you to make an altar unto us and bow down and worship us and have services of just the Holy Spirit, services of just the Son, and services of God the Father. He said, the Holy Spirit and Jesus came to point the way to God the Father so that God's children could come to him. You know, I do remember holding my boys when they were little. You know, now I can't hold them. I am the shortest in my family, except for Carter, and something tells me, well, that my time is still numbered. However, when I hold him, and when I was holding Harper today back there, and she was just wide-eyed, just looking, and I'm looking up here at the words on the thing, and I look down, and she's just staring at me. Big blue eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you. Yeah, I realize I'm the grandfather. But there ain't a butt in the world I wouldn't kick for her. How much so is our Father? He hates to see it when we rejoice over somebody falling. They're his children too. You don't rejoice because somebody's kid, well, it's about time they went off and did what they were going to do. Do you realize they could get killed? We should never rejoice. Hallelujah, they got bin Laden. Woo! He went to hell. Where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Forever. They stopped Hitler. I don't know what happened to Hitler. I really don't. From what I've read about him, he had Jewish friends when he was younger. As a matter of fact, it was a Jewish friend that when Hitler was homeless, prior to becoming part of the Nazi party. He was homeless, living on the streets, and a Jewish friend of his gave him his coat so that he could stay warm. He extended to him kindness and mercy, just like our Father. And a few short years later, Hitler would be calling for the death of everybody that was like his friend. He was a spirited man and listened to the wrong people. People who didn't have what it takes to lead. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will receive corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you will receive life. There is mercy I know my flesh needs. But my spirit needs it more. My flesh will not be judged. The eternal spirit that lives on will be. That's where I need the mercy. That's where I need God's compassion in my life. That's where you need it. We could keep saying, well, it's just, yeah, things are going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you right now. There are things we're not going to change. We couldn't have done one thing to change what happened in Germany. Not one. God already knew it was going to happen. He knew all those Jews were going to die. He knew it. But God's plan. I don't think Revelation, Daniel, Ezekiel, any of the prophets really are just scratching the surface of what really is to be. There are so many things going to happen and transpire. I think in 20 years we won't recognize this country. Parts of this world we won't recognize. Things are setting up to fall right in line with prophecy. You think the United States will fall? There's some things going to happen that I'm not real thrilled with, I believe. That's all I'll say about it. It doesn't mean I'm going to roll over and say, yeah, here, beat me. I'll not deny Jesus Christ. He is the only way to the Father. Socialism is not it. What's the word? There's a word I'm looking for. Yeah, I can't find it, so who cares? It would drive my wife nuts. It doesn't matter. I have a role to do. You have a role to play. We stand like we're supposed to stand. We pray like we're supposed to pray. It's why the devil is splitting homes. It's why he's splitting families. It's why he's splitting the country. We know the saying, right? United we stand, divided we fall. We watched, a very heartbreaking game the other night. We watched the Mount Gilead and Centerburg game. That was a good game. And I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, the Mount Gilead boys, they came out and they fought hard. Lost by 1 point to the number one team. But when they were warming up and then during the practice, or not practice, during the game, I saw things about the team that spoke volumes to me. I'd see a pass get missed. And in reality, it was the guy that the pass was going to on a couple of the times who messed it up. But the guy who threw the pass took the blame. He took the blame. He didn't blame his fellow teammate. See, what happens is when we start blaming somebody else, condemnation comes on them. And anybody who's ever played in a game like that, when some one person, one key person, starts to doubt themselves, they're done. You can watch it happen. These guys didn't. Even though the guy throwing the pass really didn't throw a bad pass, he took the blame and he just rolled it off his shoulders. But he took it upon himself just like Jesus Christ took our sins, because he didn't want condemnation coming upon us, because he's reliant upon us for his victory. Well, Jesus is going to bring back angels. The Bible says he's coming back with 10,000s of his saints. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen. I hope to have a front row horse or whatever it is Jesus is bringing me back on. Maybe one of them super cycles that they got in Star Wars and stuff. I don't know. Or maybe just the whole Superman thing. But nonetheless, Jesus took it upon himself. And you know what? And even if the guy did throw the bad pass, he was able to roll it off because his teammates weren't coming back condemning him. When you have a team that plays like that, when all your guys are on the same wavelength and they have the same bond, now the back of their shirts said family. That's okay. You know, Rob and I, we were talking about family. And, you know, I think Tim had said something about us being a family. And Rob's like, oh, man. He said, Rob and I were the oldest. And, kind of rough on the younger ones. But that's what big brothers do, right? Big sisters. You're kind of rough on the younger ones. But We'll kick their butt with no problem. But ain't nobody else kicking their butt. I had a friend who did that. And I let him know he was to never touch my brother again. And he didn't. But I can promise you, folks, and I've been watching a lot of football videos and trick plays and stuff, but football plays. One guy goes takes a swing at one of your players, and these are all professionals. Man, you got a 300-pound lineman come running off the side and just, he's supermanning across there, and he clocks the guy with his body. Man, it hurts when a 150-pound guy hits you, let alone a 300-pound monster. They fight. They may not like each other in the locker room, but that's my brother. See, that's kind of why the Bible calls us brothers and sisters. My brother and my sister. And it was actually Alexander the Great that originated that saying. He said, he who should shed blood with me will forever be my brother. That's where brotherhood and sisterhood is forged, is in battle for each other. Yeah, we'll talk about some more of that stuff later. But love rejoices in the truth. It doesn't rejoice in somebody's sin. It rejoices in the truth. We're going to get more into that. I'm stopping right there. And I brought up Galatians 6:7, just as that's where we'll pick up next week. Yes, there are things people, they've sown the seed. That's why we need to be praying for crop failure. You may have sowed some seeds. Lord, I call a drought. I call for a drought over my seeds of ill repute. I promise you, if you start praying for people who have wronged you, pray for them. Watch what God will do. Nowhere does the Bible say, pray that God's vengeance comes upon them. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand when God's vengeance hit the earth the last time, he drowned everybody but 8 people? That's that many. Not even 2 full hands. 8 people! I don't know about you, but I can't tread water that long. And God said, I'm not going to drown it the next time. I don't want God's vengeance. I want his love and his mercy in our life. Amen? All right, let's stand. Drink some agua. You sow mercy, then mercy you shall reap. You sow pain, then pain you will receive. Remember that. We can't act like the world. That's why we have to be diligent and knowing when to move forward with something and when to back off. Because sometimes, I will promise you this, you let evil people get hold of something that started out good, and it'll be evil in a heartbeat. It'll miss the point that it was supposed to have to begin with. Always remember that. Church started out a great thing. A lot of people won't go today because of abuses. Grandpa, here's your baby. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, and I praise you, Lord God, that you're showing us how you love us, how much you love us. Father, I pray for those in here today who are struggling with understanding your love for them. Lord, I realize that we cannot love others until we have understood why you love us, how you can love us, and that we can't love ourselves. So, Father, I pray right now that you help them. Lord God, you open their eyes. Father, if it's even something as simple as a baby looking at them, Father, that they get the revelation of how much they are loved by you and how much people that hurt them are loved by you as well. Now, Father, I bless them. Father, I bless them in that goal, that quest to understand you. Father, I know that as they go about it, that you will reveal yourself to them. And now, Father, I do bless them. I bless those among us today who are not here because they're ill. Father, I thank you that you're touching their bodies. You're driving this infection. You're driving the creeping crud out of their lives. And now, Father, I bless them as they go about. I bless them with peace. I bless them with prosperity. In Jesus' name, amen.